Now, the title of my message today is, What is the Gospel? What is the Gospel? If you want this message on a cassette tape, at the end of the program, I'll tell you how you may receive the message. But that's the title, What is the Gospel? Now, we're turning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. I'm going to be using several verses from the 10th chapter of Hebrews, and I'd like very much if you'd open your Bibles and read with me. Now, those who preach the Word of God have a serious and solemn commandment from the Lord Jesus Christ, a serious and solemn commandment. Our Lord said to His disciples and to those who preach, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's your assignment, that's your commission, to go to every creature, to all the world, and preach the gospel. And then those who preach have a serious and solemn warning from the Apostle Paul, who said, If any man preach any other gospel than that gospel which I preached, let him be accursed. And Paul said, Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So our Lord sends us forth into all the world to preach the gospel. And we're warned by His apostle not to preach any other gospel. So my question today is this, what is the gospel? What is this gospel that we're commissioned and appointed to preach? What is this gospel? Well, for the answer, I'm turning to the book of Hebrews. Now, I do not know a chapter in God's Word that is clearer on the gospel than the 10th chapter of Hebrews. I wish that you would be motivated by this message to go to the Word of God and read the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Now, Hebrews 10 begins with the law. For the law, it says, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the substance or image of those things, can never, with the sacrifices which are offered often, make the comers thereunto perfect or acceptable. In other words, the Old Testament law, the law of ceremonies and sacrifices and tabernacle and priesthood and commandments, the laws of washings and days and do's and don'ts. And someone said there are about 613 of these laws, commandments, ordinances, washings, and sacrifices. Well, all of these things can never, never, never justify a sinner, cannot make him acceptable before God, cannot make him perfect. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. You see, the law of ceremony and ordinances, the law of commandments and the law of the priesthood and the tabernacle and the sacrifices, it's a shadow. It's not the substance. It's not the real thing. It's a picture. It's a pattern. It is not now. It never has been the way to God. You see, this law with its sacrifices can never make a man acceptable before God, but rather it only brings sin to memory. It brings sin to remembrance. That's what verse 2 says in verse 3. It brings sin to remembrance. It never puts it away. Cannot put it away. By the law is the knowledge of sin, not the cleansing of sin. And preaching the law is not preaching the gospel. Preaching morality and preaching good works and preaching religious duties is not preaching the gospel. You see, the law is a word of wrath. The gospel is a word of peace. The law says you're a sinner. That's all the law can say to you. You're a sinner, and you shall be damned. But the gospel says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The law says, pay me what you owe, or I'll put you in prison. And the gospel says, deliver him from going down into the pit. I've found a payment. I've found a ransom. There is a Redeemer. You see the difference? The law says you have not continued in all things written in the law to do them, and therefore you're cursed. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law, not to admire them or even to agree with them, but to do them. So you're cursed. But the gospel says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. The law commands perfect obedience. It can be satisfied with no less than perfect obedience. God said to be accepted, it must be perfect. But the gospel commands one thing. There's one condition. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe. So let's look at this Hebrews 10 now, verse 5. Now watch this. He says in the first four verses, the law is just a shadow, a picture, a pattern. The law can never make anybody perfect. Through the law comes a memory of sin, the remembrance of sin. It's not possible that blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. And then this announcement in verse 5. Now look at it. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world. Now the law was given. The law was given through Moses. Not by Moses, given by God, given through Moses. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. When he, look at verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world. Now there's the gospel. There's the good news. He cometh into the world. And coming into the world, he brought grace. Grace flows from his lips. He brought truth. He is. Grace and truth didn't come by Jesus Christ, came through him. Came because of him. And there's your gospel. No gospel in the law. The gospel's a person. Well, I asked several questions. First of all, who is he? It says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world. Who is he? Who is he? Well, he's the Savior. When he came into the world, the angels, God put a star over his birthplace and sent the angels down to the Judean hillsides, and these angels said to the shepherds, behold, we bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. Isaiah said, God is a just God and a Savior. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I'm God and there's none else. He's our Savior. And then he's the Lamb of God. This he that came into the world, he's the Savior. He's the Lamb of God. John the Baptist, the last prophet of the Old Testament. John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah. When he saw Christ, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb to fulfill all of the lambs that have died before. This is the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb of God. And then he's Emmanuel. The angel spoke to Joseph, said, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, because that holy thing which shall be born of her is the Son of God. And you call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And all of this, that the word of God through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and you call his name Emmanuel, God with us. He cometh into the world. He, the Savior, the Lamb of God, Emmanuel. He's the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he's God manifest in human flesh. I can't explain that, I just know it's so. This is a true saying, and without controversy, the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. And he's the Son of God. He said, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Unto us a Son is given. He cometh into the world. Well, what did he do? He literally, actually came into the world. Galatians 4 says this, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And he took upon him, actually, the form of a servant. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took on him the form of a servant, was made literally in the likeness of men, in the likeness of sinful flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. What are you saying, preacher, in simple words? I'm saying this, that Jesus of Nazareth is God Almighty in human flesh. He, God, came into the world. He came into the world born of a woman, dwelling in flesh and bones, in the likeness of our flesh, and made himself of no reputation. That's right. Well, why did he come into the world? Why did he come? Well, Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy says this, this is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptation by all men, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief. That's why he came into the world, to save sinners. He said, I'm come to seek and to save the lost. He said, I am come that they might have life. There's life to be found nowhere else but in him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am come to do thy will, O God. And when he was going to the cross, he said in that high priestly prayer, I finish the work you gave me to do. I finished the work. Why did he come into the world? To save sinners. Well, how did he save sinners? Well, are you familiar with these scriptures? Are these scriptures familiar to you? In Romans 5, verse 19, it says this, by the disobedience of one, many were made sinners. So, by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. The one, now, by the disobedience of one, who is that one? Many were made sinners. That one is Adam. Is that not right? All right. So, by the obedience of one, well, who is that one? Shall many be made righteous? That's Christ. Wherefore, Paul says here in Hebrews 10, the law can't help us. The law can't perfect us. The law can't bring us to God. All the ceremonies, 613 of them. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. He, who is the he? He's Emmanuel, Son of God, our Savior, the Lamb of God. He's the Redeemer. And he literally actually came into the world. He said, a body you prepared me. God prepared me a body. I come in the body, in the likeness of flesh, and the form of a servant, born of a woman. And he came, he said, to give life. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to save sinners. Now, how did he do it? Well, it tells us here, by the disobedience of one, Adam, we were made sinners. So, by the obedience, you see, Adam disobeyed God's law and we fell. Christ came as a man in the flesh, and was made under that law, in subjection to that law, and he obeyed it. And by his obedience, we were made righteous. You see that? You see, you've got to learn something about this representation thing. It says the first Adam is of the earth, earthy. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven. He came into the world. The Lord from heaven came into the world. He says, in Adam we died. In Christ we're made alive. By man came death. By this first man, Adam, by his disobedience, by his fall, by his sin, came death. And death passed upon all men. By man, Christ. Now, if I can put it in plain words now, here's the gospel according to the scriptures. Here's what the scriptures teach from Genesis to Revelation. This is it. Now listen to me. God made man in his own image, made him upright, holy. Breathed into him the breath of life. He became a living soul. And God gave him a commandment, a covenant of works. And he said, obey and live. That's the covenant. That's the commandment. Obey me and live. Disobey me and die. Well, that one man, that first man, that father of all men, that root of all flesh, that representative, he fell. And he died spiritually, just like God said he would. And he represented all men. And it said, as by one man sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all sin. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. We are sinners by imputation. We're sinners by representation. We're sinners by impartation. We're sinners by birth, by nature, by choice, by practice, in all forms. Now, sin changed man from holy to unholy, from light to darkness, from death, from life to death. Sin changed man, rendered him incapable, not able to fulfill God's law, but sin didn't change God's law. Sin changed man, but not God's law. God's law is the same. Still true. Obey and live. Obey and live. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who's never lifted his soul to vanity, who's never sworn deceitfully. That's still true. See, sin changed man, but didn't change God's law. Didn't change God's nature. Didn't change God's requirement. Didn't change God's commandments. So immediately after the fall, the Lord God announced his purpose of redemption through a substitute. He immediately announced in Genesis 3, right after the fall, before he ever threw Adam out of the Garden of Eden, God announced the purpose of redemption in Christ Jesus. He said to the serpent, the seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's head. The seed of woman. That's Christ. That's the virgin-born Son of God, you see. We're the seed of man. We're not the seed of woman. But Christ had no human father. He's the Son of God. And he's the seed of woman. And God announced it right then, the seed of woman. In fact, all the way through the Old Testament, all of the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, God promised the Messiah. God promised the Redeemer. God promised the Savior. To him give all the prophets witness, all the ceremonies, the sacrifices, the tabernacle, the priesthood, all these things in the Old Testament, all of these slain lambs, all of these atonements, all of these sacrifices are pictures and patterns of the person and work of Jesus Christ. He said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. He said, Moses wrote of me. The rock smitten by Moses, that rock is Christ, said Paul. That Passover lamb slain in Egypt, that Christ is our Passover. God never had any pleasure or satisfaction in Old Testament sacrifices and burnt offerings and atonements. Those were pictures. Those were patterns. Those were shadows of the substance, not the substance of the gospel. You see, look at Hebrews 10:6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices and Old Testament pictures, God had no pleasure. God had no delight. God took no satisfaction. The blood of an animal cannot put away the sin of a man. Just a picture. Then said Christ, lo, I come. I come into the world. Emmanuel, God, the Son of God, I come into the world. In the volume of the whole book, it's written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. And Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the Lord from heaven, the man Christ Jesus, representing every believer, representing a covenant people, representing a mediatorial kingdom, he came to this earth to do what God commanded and what we couldn't perform, to do what God required and what we couldn't supply, to do what the holy law of God expected and something that we could not fulfill. But he did. He did. Now look there at Hebrews chapter 10 again. You looking at it with me? Hebrews 10 verse 9. Our Lord said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. What is this first that he taketh away? He taketh away the Old Testament priesthood. He taketh away the Old Testament ceremonies and sacrifices and Sabbath days. He taketh away the Passover. He taketh away all these things that were pictures. You don't need a picture when you have the person. You don't need a pattern when you have the person. You don't need that which is a type when you have him who is the fulfillment of the type. And he said he takes away all these things. They're no longer in effect. They've been fulfilled. Christ came and fulfilled them according to the will of God. He said, I come to do thy will, O God. Look at verse 10. By the which will, by the will of God in Christ, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every believer is sanctified. What is to be sanctified? It's to be set apart. It's to be made holy. It's to be declared to be holy. In Christ we have righteousness. In Christ we have a fulfilled law. You see that? He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. Now look at verse 11. And he goes back and points to that Old Testament ceremonies and sacrifices and tabernacle. And he said, every priest of the Old Testament standeth daily. Why do they always stand? They never sat down. They always stand. There's not a chair in the tabernacle or temple. They always stood because their work was never finished. There were many of them and many sacrifices, never finished. And they stand daily ministering and offering the same sacrifices over and over and over again. If these sacrifices could have made the comers thereunto perfect, they would have ceased to have been offered. For the conscience, once purged, would have no more conscience of sin, no more awareness. But they offered the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. Now look at verse 12. But this man who came into the world, this God-man, this special man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Who is he? Oh, you see, Hebrews 10, Paul takes all of these ceremonies and ordinances and sacrifices and said they're not the real thing. They're just pictures, just shadows. Can't do it. Can't make you perfect. Can't justify you. Can't bring you to God. But when he cometh into the world, who is he? Don't forget who he is. What did he do? He came into this world in the flesh. It's necessary that our high priest be tempted as we are, that he be tried as we are, fulfilled every, because he represents us. He came into the world. What did he come to do? To give life. How did he give life? By one offering, one sin offering, and that of himself, his blood, not the blood of an animal, his blood. He perfected forever them that are sanctified. And after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down at the right hand of God, finished what he came to do. Our redemption is complete. Our redemption is secure. For by that one offering, by that one sacrifice, by that one life, you say, well, how in the world could one person, one man, satisfy God's holy law for so many people, so many generations and nations of people, as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore, because of who he is. It's not just the death on the cross, it's who died on that cross. It's not just the blood he shed, it's whose blood was shed. Paul said, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, the God-man. Talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, he said, feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. God did. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It's who he is. Do you understand that? Adam represented a lot of folks, fleshly people. Our Lord Jesus Christ represents effectually his people. And verse 15 says, the Holy Spirit is our witness. He takes the things of Christ and shows them to us. In verse 16 and 17, the Holy Spirit declares, this is the covenant. This is the covenant. This is the promise that I'll make to them after those days of pattern and picture. I'll write my law on their hearts. I'll write my law on their minds, and their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. Now, where forgiveness is, there's no more sacrifice. We don't need any more sacrifices. We don't need any more messiahs. We don't need any more offerings. By one offering, he has perfected forever. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now watch verse 19. All right, brethren. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter ourselves into the holiest, into the presence of God, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So having a high priest over the house of God, we have a high priest. He's none other than the Son of God. Let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, knowing that we'll be received and we'll be heard and we'll be accepted in the Beloved. Do you see the gospel? When he cometh into the world, by one obedience and by one sacrifice and by one offering, he perfected forever every believer and ascended to the right hand of God and sat down. And he says, now let every believer boldly come into the presence of God. Boldly, with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Now, this message is on a cassette tape. What is the gospel? I'd like for you to get it and share it with someone else. What is the gospel? I've tried to be as plain as I could be, as clear as I could be on this subject. The gospel's a person.